Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
We are less than a week away from round one of the NFL Draft, and we will be there in Detroit. Shows Thursday and Friday. CC, a part of the draft coverage on Thursday and Friday here on ESPN Radio. So there's a lot of conversation about teams potentially trading up to get a quarterback. Our very own Chris Carlin, Carlin versus Joe, weekdays noon until 3 Eastern time here on ESPN Radio, said that maybe teams should not trade up.
It's one thing when you look at the draft hit rate of the last 12, 13 years, and it's right around that same number since they changed the pay structure and teams can give up on guys sooner. It's right around 30-35%. But this is trading up a lot of assets as well. That's not a good enough reason to me to move up considerably. And I would call considerably, if you're at 11, 12, or 13, moving up to 4 or even 3. If you're giving up a ton of assets, if you're giving up, let's say if you're Minnesota, you know, 11, 23, and then a first round pick next year, that's not a great hit rate, Joe. That doesn't give me a lot of confidence.
It's certainly an interesting take from Carlin. I would look at it and say that if you know who the quarterback is that you want, regardless of where you pick them or how much you have to give up to get that person, you go and get that person. If you are sure, you have to get them. Like, I look bad retroactively saying this with one thing, but I can just tell you my opinion at the time. When the Chicago Bears moved up to get Mitchell Trubisky, I had no issue with that whatsoever, because if they were convinced he was the guy, you got to go get him. The problem is it didn't work out. He wasn't the guy, but yeah. I have no problem with the effort of doing so. San Francisco 49ers giving up 3 first-rounders to get Trey Lance. Yeah. If you're convinced he's the guy, go get him.
Well, how else are you going to get the quarterback? How else are you going to get him?
If you wait, like New England did with Mac Jones, there's a reason he's available when you wait.
That's my point. Like, the overwhelming majority of the guys that end up hitting are first-round quarterbacks, and usually teams have to move up to draft them. I mean, think about it. The Kansas City Chiefs moved up from 27 to 10 to draft Patrick Mahomes.
Because you knew he was
the guy.
In
that same Trubisky draft, they knew he was the guy. I mean, when you think about the rookie wage scale that's in place, teams don't longer have to guarantee $30, $40 million on a rookie contract for these quarterbacks. So they can move off of them a little bit quicker, which makes sense. Like, I don't get why you wouldn't entertain the possibility of moving up, especially when you recognize that the value of the quarterback far outweighs the value of any other position group in terms of whether or not you hit on that guy. So it just, I hear where Carlin is coming from, but it just, it's illogical, because it's so much harder to find a quarterback later on in the draft than it is on the first night of the draft.
It is, but it's also possible. Lamar Jackson was pick number 32. I think it all comes down to if the Patriots can evaluate these guys properly. If a J.J. McCarthy or a Michael Penix Jr. or even a Bo Nix is somebody that they think they could mold into a franchise quarterback, and by trading out of number 3, they could get more draft capital, still land on the guy that they're going to plug in there and that they think they could eventually develop over time, that is a massively big winning scenario for the New England Patriots. Just because these guys are ranked a certain way, 1, 2, 3, does not mean all of them are going to be the guy or that all of them are going to hit. It really comes down to New England being correct in their evaluation and being shrewd in their dealing.
So you brought up Lamar Jackson. I'm glad you did. They moved up to get Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
That was New England's pick.
Yeah.
They moved up to get Lamar Jackson.
And the Baltimore Ravens had a Super Bowl winning quarterback that was in place in Joe Flacco.
Correct.
The teams we talking about ain't got that.
It's also the who, right? If I okay, so we're going to say we're not sure if Minnesota should make the move 11, 23, and next year's first to get, let's call it, anywhere between 3 and 5. Okay, just for argument's sake.
Yeah.
If I told you Andy Reid was running Minnesota and made that trade, would anybody hesitate?
No.
So the because we're not as familiar with the current Minnesota regime, we have questions. Okay,
but also, what's your alternative? Rock with Sam Darnold?
It's wait at 11 until somebody slips. But if you
what if nobody slips to 11?
Right.
What if
exactly.
The top four quarterbacks are gone?
Yeah, I think that,
like, that's the other part of it, right? It's like, okay, well, if you've zeroed in, if you say, well, we think that Michael Penix Jr. is the fourth best quarterback, not J.J. McCarthy, and Michael Penix Jr. is on the board at 11, do you take Michael Penix at number 11, knowing that nobody else is probably going to take him? If he's your guy, then that's what Carlin is saying. You would take him there.
See, you know what's funny
about
that?
That's the inverse of his argument. Like, if he's your guy, then you take him there. It's not reaching because you think he's the fourth best quarterback in the class.
But you know what's funny about that, CeCe? Even if you think he's going to be there at 11, if he's the guy and you're convinced Michael Penix Jr. is the guy, I would argue they should still trade up to get him to guarantee it. Don't leave it for chance.
I'm with you.
It's the most important position
in
sports.
I'm with you. You shouldn't be at the mercy of whatever falls to you at whatever slot you're at. The draft is a fluid marketplace. Different teams have different evaluations, but different teams have different values on certain positions. But you know what everybody prioritizes as the most valuable position? The damn quarterback, regardless of the scheme. So that's why all of these teams move up. We just had an article on .com a week ago talking about why it makes sense to move up. Even if you miss on the quarterback, the value proposition, because of what the position means for the overall success of your football team, it's worth the risk.
When your Giants took Daniel Jones at 6, and who did they take at 17? Dexter Lawrence? Dexter Lawrence. And people were ripping the Giants. That they said, oh, they could have had him at 17. But if he's the guy and they think he's the guy at 6, you go get him at 6. Simple as that. And Daniel Jones, I think, has been ripped, I don't want to say unfairly. It's not like he's the all-time biggest bust. When he was healthy 2 years ago, they won 10 games and they won a playoff game. Like, he's done some things. They just gave him too much money. There is a new article on ESPN.com by Seth Walder. Does it ever make sense to trade up? Yes, it can. To be clear, there is nothing inherently wrong with trading up. In an efficient market, trading up, trading down, and staying put should all be reasonable options. But because trade-ups are typically not efficient, the easiest way for a trade-up to be palatable is if it is well below market price and thus close to a fair price. That, to me, is fine, but that is also then maybe safeguarding a general manager that you don't think is that good. Because that is, man, maybe they're not going to get it right. Like, that's my whole thing, Smalls, that if you're going to hire a general manager as an owner of a team, you have to assume the general manager, if they decide to trade up for the quarterback, knows what they're doing relative to picking that quarterback.
Yeah, they're going to give up a lot to get somebody that is going to hit and be in place for a long time. I mean, we constantly use Patrick Mahomes as the example, but there is nothing that a team could have given up. The Kansas City Chiefs, we could have looked back retroactively at an absurd package that they gave up to go up and get him, and we would have said every time that's worth it. If you're able to identify that guy, go up and get him. But my whole thought process is you might in the moment think you have the guy and give up a lot, and he might not turn out into that guy. Like, San Francisco is so lucky that they hit on Brock Purdy because they mortgaged a lot to get Trey Lance and it didn't work out. In most scenarios, the team doesn't have that much talent to be able to absorb missing on a guy like that after you move up and give up so much to get him.
You're 1,000% right, but that's why if you're an owner and you hire a general manager, you have to assume that they know how to do that, right? You have to trust if they're going to trade 3 first-rounders to get Trey Lance, that Trey Lance is going to be good. I want to go back to something you said about Mahomes. The most amount of years out you could trade a first-rounder is, what, 5 in the NFL?
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
So
no,
let's,
4 years.
4?
4 years.
Okay. So let's assume, give me any team. Let's use the Bears. The Bears do not have a quarterback. Let's just guesstimate based on 7 rounds that they will have 28 picks the next 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
I would offer all 28 eligible picks to be traded for Patrick Mahomes right now. And if I were the Chiefs, I would say no and laugh at them. I'd offer 28 picks, every single one of them. Because he is worth more than all 28 picks.
Mm-hmm.
If you get the quarterback right, everything else falls into place. You just have to have the faith that the general manager knows what they're doing to get the quarterback right.
Yeah, and guess where you're going to find the quarterback? In the first round. 21 of the 32 starting quarterbacks last year, first round picks.
Mm.
What are we even talking about?
You can find them outside of the first round, but it is more likely than not when doing that, you better have someone else in place now. You can't rely on the non-first rounder to be your starter this year. That's when you're the Rams with Matthew Stafford and you take a guy in the second round and he has time to develop. You're the
Philadelphia
Eagles. When they had Carson Wentz, they're drafting Jalen Hurts.
The Dallas Cowboys, Dak Prescott, they had Tony Romo.
Yeah, I mean, it's ESPN.com. Smalls is featured. My quarterback rules. Draft a QB when you want one, not when you need one. That can be in rounds 2 through 7.
You know, you should laminate those.
Yeah. I actually have asked for those to be laminated, the quarterback rules. By the way, I'm glad you brought this up. So for those just tuning in, we have a laminator now. Everybody's all excited about this big laminator. We don't have staplers or scissors because the Property Brothers allegedly stole scissors. I'm not kidding. I'm going to out CeCe. When we were talking to Legs, CeCe did revert to our big laminated NBA playoff bracket here.
He did
look at it.
It's the nice laminator. It's nice to have it.
Oh, you like the laminator now?
I like it. It's nice to have it.
He's going to get a laminator at home. That's what's going to happen.
Probably not going to do that.
I'm sad I don't have one. Next a laminated week. Playoff bracket.
You have FOMO, Smalls?
I do. I have lamination FOMO right now.
So Elliot Wolf is the general manager of the New England Patriots, or whatever, director of scouting, excuse me, and he discussed the idea of allowing somebody to trade up into that 3 spot in the draft next week.
We're open to anything, moving up, moving down. We're open for business in the first round and in every round. We have some holes we feel like we need to fill in the draft, and we're a draft and develop team. The more picks we have, the better. But if there's an opportunity to move up and strike, if the board kind of recommends it, then we won't be afraid to pull the trigger on that either.
Guys,
I think he's going to move down to move up.
Yeah, okay, go there. Yeah.
I think he's going to move down to move up. I mean, he's entertaining all the possibilities, but he's laying it out there, right? Robert Kraft talked about how teams are desperate for a quarterback, and that puts the Patriots in advantageous position because they're 3 overall. I mean, Gerard Mayo said if somebody comes and offers us the bag, we got to listen. Now Elliot Wolf saying, yeah, we're entertaining the possibility of moving down, moving up, all of these different things. Well, they're not moving up from number 3, right? Like, they're not moving up to 2. They're not moving up to number 1. Those teams are not trading those picks. So he's not talking about where they're going to go from number 3. I think he's entertaining the possibility of if they do slide back and get a ransom for the 3rd overall pick, wherever they end up landing in the first round, they could potentially come back up to get the quarterback that they're going to develop behind Jacoby Brissett. I think that's far more likely the route of the New England Patriots in terms of what their plan is than staying pat at number 3 and taking a quarterback.
Is there a 3-way deal to be had here? We never see that in the NFL, but really what we're kind of saying is New England gets 5. The Chargers get 5 and a 25 first from Minnesota. The Chargers get 11 and 23, and Minnesota gets 3.
Isn't that kind of what we're saying here? What I'm saying is the New England Patriots are going to get the 4th quarterback off the board this year, not the 3rd. I don't know how it happens, but I think that them trading down is the first step. I don't know where it goes from there. But I think that they're more likely to draft the 4th quarterback off the board than they are the 3rd quarterback off the board this year.
And that would be it. So the question then becomes, let's say the Chargers are the team. I know a lot of people are speculating about the Cardinals. I feel like the Chargers more than the Cardinals. Is there anyone else that could jump New England to get to 4 for J.J. McCarthy? Let's just say it's whether it's multiple deals or a 3-way deal. New England ends up at 5. Chargers get 11 and 23. Minnesota gets 3. Is there anyone in your mind that could slip into number 4 to get J.J. McCarthy?
No.
Well, then there's your deal.
No, because if Arizona moves back, they're costing themselves Marvin Harrison Jr., whoever they would be moving back with. And I don't think they're in that business.
MHJ
is too good for that.
And just not think about it more than that.
Yeah.
They
got rid of Hollywood Brown this offseason. Like, they're probably committed to taking a wide receiver early.
Can he or can't he? Brought to you by Grainger. Coming up next on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. 2 things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number 1, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number 2, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Canny or Canty, brought to you by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by today. What is this that you're seeing on the internet about the baseball? Nine innings?
Oh, the 999 challenge. It is nine beers, nine hot dogs in nine innings.
Pat, could you pull that off?
Not in an hour and 45 minutes.
That backfired. Now you're right. Now you are right on that. All right, Smalls, kick us off with can he or can't he? Firing questions away here to CeCe.
Here we go. First one, CeCe. Can he or can't he? Can LeBron and the Lakers make it a long series against the Nuggets?
8-Ball says doubtful. I want to believe in the Lakers. I do think they'll come out with more effort, more fight than they did in the conference championship game. Our conference championship, conference finals last year, but I just don't see it happening. I mean, this Denver Nuggets team is too good. I mean, the starting five for Denver has logged more minutes than any starting five in the entire NBA. And oh, by the way, when Nikola Jokic is in the postseason, he's averaging 7 more points per game than he does in the regular season. And Jamal Murray is averaging 6 more points per game in the postseason than he does in the regular season. I think it's too much Jokic, too much Murray. Not enough consistency from Anthony Davis from game to game. I mean, AD showed up every other game in the conference finals last year. In games 2 and games 4, he was combined for 10 of 31 from the field. It's not great.
So over under 5.5 games then?
I'm going to go under.
And that's not a long series. All right, next one. Can Ant-Man, your guy, and your team, the T-Wolves, beat the Suns in the first round?
Yes. I actually like Ant-Man and the T-Wolves in this one. I get that they don't have a ton of experience, but what they do have is defensive prowess. And Chris Finch makes sure that they locked in on that side of the ball. I think in these playoff series that are evenly matched, defense is the saving grace. And here's the other part of it. When it comes to net efficiency in the fourth quarter, the Phoenix Suns were the worst in the regular season. Now, they've played better over the last couple of weeks going into the postseason. We'll see if they can sustain that. But if it's going to be a closely contested game in the fourth quarter, give me the team that can get stops down the stretch, and that is the T-Wolves. So I'm going to roll with them in this series.
Next one, canny or canty, can Jalen Brunson and the Knicks beat the Sixers, in round one?
No, they can't. And I was on the Knicks, and I was saying how great Jalen Brunson has been playing the last month and a half in the regular season. But I just don't see the Knicks having the offensive firepower to keep pace with the Sixers. And we haven't been able to say that about a Sixers team in the past. But think about it. Look at the contribution that they got from Nicholas Batum the other night. I mean, knocking down all those threes in the second half. You got Kelly Oubre now. I mean, you've got Buddy Hield now coming off of the bench. Not to mention Tyrese Maxey, Tobias Harris, and Embiid. I just think that the Sixers got too many bucket getters for the Knicks, and I get the Knicks want to play this grind-em-out style. They have the slowest pace in the entire NBA. I don't think the Sixers are going to allow them that latitude in terms of the style of play because they're going to score so many points. So I think the Knicks do get out of character in this series. It's going to be a long series, but the Sixers ultimately end up winning it.
Can he or can't he? Brought to you by a Grainger. Will Jaden Daniels, LSU/Arizona State, be the second overall pick in the NFL draft to Washington?
He can't.
What?
He can't.
He can't be the second pick in the draft.
He can't be the second pick in the draft. He just can't. I can't put Jaden Daniels behind that offensive line for the Washington Commanders right now. That's an awful offensive line. I mean, absolutely awful. I mean, a guy that's 6'4", 210 pounds, and he had to bulk up during the pre-draft process to get to 210. I mean, you're talking about somebody that is slight of frame. And as Mike Tannenbaum said before, it's a big man's league. Give me the guy that's 6'4", 230 pounds, and that's Drake May. I don't have to worry about the durability on that end. I'm concerned about Jaden Daniels' ability to stay healthy. It's not his football acumen. It's not his physical talent. I think he's an elite prospect in that regard. I'm just worried about him being able to stay healthy So give me Drake May over Jaden Daniels.
Wait. Hold on. Let me just follow up on this. And maybe this is a semantics thing. He can't be or he shouldn't be. Because you think he can. Like, you're not going to be surprised next Thursday night if Washington drafts him, are you?
No, I'm not saying it's a semantics thing.
You're just saying he shouldn't be.
No, I'm saying he can't be for them, for the Washington Commanders, they're at that franchise, where they're at with that roster. You can't have another quarterback that has that RG3-like skill set get the career knocked out of him because the offensive line in front of him isn't proper.
So you reserve the right to be right, like Tim Legler said.
I reserve the right to be right, but I mean, how good do you feel about drafting a quarterback that's 200, 205 pounds? How good do you feel
about
that?
How much is Lamar weigh?
Lamar Jackson is 220, 225, somewhere around.
How much? Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, that's skinny. That is skinny. Smalls?
Before I wrap this up, CC, I have one more follow-up there. You've been really, really high on Drake May, and we've been having the conversation today about New England potentially trading out of number three. If Jaden Daniels does, in fact, go to Washington number two, and Drake May is sitting there for New England, regardless of the package that they're offered, do you think that they would be crazy to trade out of that pick and not take Drake May?
Ooh, that is feet to the fire there, Smalls.
Maybe I can let you think on it.
That is feet to the fire. I would say this. They can do that. The New England Patriots can do that. I think it'd be better served if they traded down, especially if they like J.J. McCarthy. But if they don't like McCarthy, if they don't like Penix, then I could see them taking Drake May. I do think they come away with a quarterback in the first round. I just think it's better for them if it's later in the first round as opposed to the third overall pick.
Wait, we just have to – okay, so we have to look at this, I think, a couple of different ways. Number one, let's just focus on the way you're thinking, not the way that they're thinking. How is that a feet to the fire, even debatable thing for you? Because you don't love McCarthy, you love Drake May, and you know that Penix is not going to go that high. So if Drake May, in Smalls' scenario, which is not a crazy scenario, Jaden Daniels comes off the board at number two – New England has to take Drake May. If you're telling me Drake May is going to be that good and you don't see it with McCarthy, including people that have reached out to you unsolicited about McCarthy, that have watched him in person at Combine, everything like that, that's a no-brainer.
But I do see it with Michael Penix.
But there's such a variable on where he's going to go. Yeah, that's the problem with that.
You're right about that. And it's more art than science in terms of trying to pin that down. But if you have a general manager that knows what he's doing and presume that Elliot Wolf, because he grew up in the business, does, then he should have a good gauge about the range that he falls in. I would feel great about New England if they walked away from this draft with a quarterback in the first round and a left tackle in the first round. I would feel awesome about that. If the Patriots could pick up a tackle at 11 and they could get their quarterback of the future at 23, I think it would be a home run for Elliot Wolf. And oh, by the way, we could get a first-round pick next year too.
Again, not to get too deep on this, but if you take Penix at 23, the tackle at 11 needs to play right tackle, not left tackle.
Well, you know what I mean.
I know, but I'm saying that there is a difference in that, right?
Yeah, there's a difference. There is a difference. All right. Slight difference.
Smalls, next one.
All right, last one, CeCe. Canny or Canty, can the Mavs steal home court in game one against the Clippers?
Can they steal home court? I'm anticipating that they will win home court on Sunday when this game tips off. What's the time on this? 3:30? What do we have?
On Sunday?
Hold on. Game one? Yeah, I know it's on Sunday, and I know it's
buffering. Buffering.
Come on, Evan.
3:30 p.m. Eastern on ABC.
3:30 p.m. Eastern. I'm expecting that Luka Doncic will begin his run to the Western Conference Finals this year. Luka and Kyrie will get to the Western Conference Finals this year. You can book it. You heard it here first. And they're going to take care of their business in game one. They're going to steal home court.
Boy, you love three teams in the Western Conference, I've realized.
Except.
You're a Lakers fan.
I don't love our chances.
You're a humongous T-Wolves fan.
I like their chances.
You're the biggest T-Wolves fan, more than Kevin Garnett. And now you like the Mavs.
No, love. So here's the thing. If we're going to go like, love, hate, I love the Mavs, I like the T-Wolves, and I hate the Lakers because they got to play the Nuggets.
Wow.
And you're a lifelong
Lakers fan.
We're on Sportsman.
No, I don't hate the team.
We're on Sportsman like on ESPN Radio.
Damn it.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
We are Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. So women's basketball has gotten so big to a point that bigger than men's college basketball in many ways right now. And Michelle Smallman, you tell everybody, you emceed what event the other night? Because we got to paint the picture here of how we got from point A to point B here.
The USBWA, their award dinner. So that's the Basketball Writers Association of America. I was fortunate enough to be one of the co-hosts for their dinner. And they give out various awards in college basketball. Coach of the Year, Freshman of the Year, Player of the Year. And there are a lot of big names there. But let me tell you, the women garnered more attention. And I've been doing this event for a couple of years. More attention this year than I've ever seen. When we announced Caitlin Clark as the Player of the Year again, even though she wasn't able to be there, the round of applause that she got and the intrigue that Juju Watkins was getting when she was there, it's bigger than I've ever seen it.
And somebody that's been around it for longer than any of the names that you just mentioned in terms of Caitlin Clark and Juju Watkins is obviously Gino Auriemma, coach at UConn. So many great players come out of his program. Rebecca Lobo, Diana Taurasi, Paige Beckers now.
11 Maya Moore, national titles.
11 national titles. And small setup for Auriemma to join us yesterday. And one of the things that we've been talking about on our show is, okay, so now it's at its peak. Can it get higher? And how does it get higher in terms of the interest with women's basketball? Is it by way of the WNBA? Do you get some of these stars in quicker than are currently in there because of the rules and regulations? And CeCe asked, you know, Auriemma about that. Could we potentially see the rules changed to get some of these stars to the pros quicker?
Well, it depends whether you want the game to grow or whether you want to kill it. If you want to kill it, then let the kids leave after freshman year. On the men's side, it's become transactional. Everybody's a free agent. Everybody's a mercenary. It's not the kids' fault. All right, so you go, you play, you're good, you go to the NBA. You go, you play, you're good, you go to another school because they give you more money. All right, so that's starting to impact the women's game. To me, what helped the women's game grow is the people in Iowa got to grow up with Caitlin Clark. Mm. The people in Connecticut got to grow up with all my great players. There's something to be said for that. I don't know that our game can continue to move forward if all of a sudden our guys are gone. So I like the rule, and the players decided the rule. So if they change the rule, God bless them, but I think it'll ruin the game.
So he says this yesterday, and this has been a conversation we've had now for weeks about this. There is one part of this that I think, well, a huge part of it, he doesn't control. This is not up to the NCAA. It's up to the WNBA.
Yeah.
So if you're running the WNBA, you hear what Gino says, hey, we in college make these women into stars. They need 3 or 4 years to become that. Do you just say, yeah, he's right? Or do you change the rules if you're the WNBA? Entrance rules.
Well, I don't think they're going to change the rules anytime soon. The W signed this collective bargaining agreement. What was this, 2021? Now, I think that both sides have a mutual opt-out in 2024, which would end the agreement in 2025. So this is going to exist for another couple of drafts. I guess my whole point is, though, to what Gino was saying, them staying in school longer leads to character development, right? The fans become familiar with the names. It amplifies the tradition that we see in collegiate sports, particularly basketball. It creates those rivalries between the schools, but then also between the individual players. It's like what we've seen with Caitlin Clark going up against South Carolina in the Final Four for a consecutive year. Like that, those types of things, well, you know, those types of things actually add to the intrigue and create that that extra layer when it comes to the entertainment value. So I'm with Gino 100%. I think it's better for the growth of the game because you actually have a chance to grow the stars in the game.
I also stand with Gino on this one in a big way. if we are using Caitlin Clark as the case study, and that's what the WNBA should do, right? When there is an explosion of popularity in any business, you look at why that product is so successful and you try to replicate it so that you can have more success. Caitlin Clark does not become the sensation that she is and bring in all of these eyeballs to her sport and her team and their product if she is not in college for as long as she is. We are emotionally invested in Caitlin Clark because we got to see her grow. Like Cece was saying, that rivalry with LSU and Iowa, Angel Reese versus Caitlin Clark, if they had the opportunity to get out earlier, we don't get that. And it doesn't continue on. That momentum does not translate to the WNBA. I think that it has been a huge detriment on the men's side that we don't have these emotional investments and we don't have the growth that we're watching with these players. It has become so transactional. It's hard to keep up where different players are. We don't feel the same about them. And so much of being a fan is the emotion behind it. We need to care not only about our city and our team, but about greatness and players and individuals. And the WNBA is benefiting from these young women being in college for as long as they are. And I don't know why they would ever mess with what's working.
Smalls, do you believe the WNBA can create a star or capitalize on a star? In other words, we say both. Like, I'll give you an example. Anthony Edwards, CC's favorite player in the NBA right now, was not a star in college.
No.
In any way, shape, or form.
Most people don't know he went to Georgia.
Right. Yeah. In my head, I was thinking just now he went to Indiana because I'm thinking of Tom Crean. Tom Crean had the stopover in Georgia, and he went to Georgia, right? Like that, to that point. So we have seen the NBA can take someone that was not a star in college and make them into a star. Are there even stars in the WNBA right now that were not stars in college?
I think to your point, the more eyeballs that go to the WNBA because of the stars in college, because that's really why a lot of people, especially new fans, are going to be checking in because they want to see the continuation of these players that they've come to know and love's careers. They'll be able to be exposed to those people that they weren't aware of in college that are growing in the W, and they'll become witness to that. I think your whole point here, Evan, correct me if I'm wrong, is about the visibility of these athletes. And I think from a fan perspective, if you're paying attention to the WNBA in a way that you were not before because you're following these women from college to the professional ranks, you're going to see those people that you weren't aware of in college that are growing into stars at the WNBA level.
Well, yeah, I guess my point, Smalls, is that I wonder if there's a part of this that one of the reasons the WNBA does not consider changing the rule, because like our guest from yesterday, Juju Watkins, USC superstar freshman, people can go back on our podcast, ESPN app or wherever pods are found and listen to that interview. Does the WNBA realize, you know what? We can't capitalize on her greatness because we are not in a position yet to push up the level of stardom, whereas we actually have the best chance of capitalizing if we let the NCAA do that for us and then get those players. There's maybe some self-realization with that as to why they don't change the rules.
But that's what we see in the NFL, though. That's exactly true. What we see Good in point. The NFL. College is an incubator for stars in the NFL.
Right, but there are more players. There's obviously more players in general, 53 on each team, 32. There are more players that are not stars in college that can become stars in the pros. Patrick Mahomes was not a star in college.
No, but that is the exception and not the rule. Like, I think there are far more players that we become familiar with at the collegiate ranks, and then we have that investment in them and wanting to see them at the next level. It's the same thing that we're seeing with what's going on with women's basketball. And the Caitlin Clark phenomenon is just the beginning of a new wave or a new influx of talent into the WNBA. So, think about it. Nike just made a huge investment, an eight-figure investment into Caitlin Clark for her signature shoe deal.
Rightfully so.
And based on the reporting, that's going to be closer to $20 million than it is $10 million in terms of what they're doing and how much they're investing in her, how much the endorsement is. There's a reason why they're getting out in front of this, because they see where this is going. Because people are interested in following Caitlin Clark, they're going to become more interested in the W. And in college basketball from the women's side is just going to continue to crank out players. They've already got players lined up that we want to see next year. You're telling me Juju Watkins is a household name. Everybody wants to see what she's going to be in her sophomore season.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to continue. It's going to snowball. So I just think that this is the beginning. And as the commissioner, Kathy Engelberg, said at the draft last week, she said This is more than a moment for the WNBA. This is sustainable growth for the league. And I get it. Everybody wants to do the side-by-side comparing the salaries from the W to the NBA. Just keep this in mind. The NBA has a 50-year head start on the WNBA. Let's give the game the time that it needs to grow. I think we'll get there.
I know Nike and the shoe deal she has would indicate that the prices are going to be high, which scares me because I guarantee you my 7-year-old daughter is now going to want the Caitlin Clarks, and I'm going to have to buy them, which I probably will, but can we lower the prices?
Your daughter, I want them.
I was going to say, I want them too.
Do they make us a men's 15? I want them. I'm going to buy them. I want to buy them.
A men's 15?
I hope they make them.
Yeah, probably. Probably. But yeah, good. I mean, good for Caitlin Clark because she deserves this, and she will sell product. There's no indication she won't. Her Fever jersey sold out in like an hour, I think.
In every size.
In every men's and women's, every size. I think it was Tim McGraw last night at a concert that he performed. He was wearing a Caitlin Clark Fever jersey to his concert, which I think is really just because he wanted to wear a tank top because he's ripped. I don't blame him. It was a Caitlin Clark jersey last night or whenever it was. At his concert. So, yeah, Gino Auriemma may have a point, and the NCAA has probably done a better job of cultivating the stardom than the WNBA, but it's going to happen in the WNBA soon as well. Guys, a lot of you are traveling right now. We've learned with us, we're big in airports, hotels, gyms, right? Mm-hmm. Well, if you're on a business trip, and it goes completely off the rails when something doesn't happen, right? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym, that's a disaster. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups in the room or sit-ups in the room and you run around the block or you just skip it entirely, which is so lame because you're in a great rhythm at home and then you're traveling. You're like, I just threw this whole thing off. You don't need to if you're going to stay at a La Quinta by Wyndham. You'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every single location all across the United States of America. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
All right, time to win some money.
Canty's best bet.
I'm talking dollar bill, y'all. We're chasing that bag, y'all.
Of the night.
All right, so we went to baseball yesterday. We had a rain postponement of Marlins Cubs. It was pouring in Chicago.
Pat
yesterday.
Would like to, us to sit through this for as many hours as possible.
Because we'll he
sit
wants through to make sure I mean, he invested so much in getting to the ballpark, he's going to stay there.
Stay through the rain delay.
Stay through the day.
Yep,
right?
Exactly right. Doubleheader, tripleheader, doesn't matter.
Cat out there at Wrigley.
That's right. That's right.
So what do you do? We're going to go to the NBA. Tonight, we're not going to overcook this one. We're going to make this simple. The play-in tournament, we're going to go with the Bulls on the money line, Kings on the money line. It pays out at plus 285. So that two-leg parlay, Bulls on the money line, Kings on the money line, pays out at plus 285.
He survived a terrible, terrible moment in our history.
The most unsportsmanlike moment of the day.
That was terrible.
Was not a great look.
So we start today on our unsportsmanlike moments with a general manager. You know, a lot of the GMs spoke yesterday. We played sound today from Elliott Wolf for the Patriots, and a lot of the guys spoke yesterday. Well, Trent Baalke is the general manager of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and I think we're going to have to lower the music on this because everyone's going to have to hear this because Dan Orlovsky, our very own ESPN NFL analyst, may have started a trend. Here's Trent Baalke at his draft press conference yesterday.
Still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final board yet. Still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat
down. Wait, we got to listen to it one more time if we could.
Final board yet. Still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final board yet.
I mean, that is remarkable. He
was
just
that his
did
stomach?
It.
I don't know.
That's a fart.
The fact that I don't know it, and he paused.
He said, excuse me.
He paused the way that he did.
He said, excuse me.
Yeah.
It sounded like his stomach grumbling to me.
You're defending him, Smalls?
A little bit.
No, because
if your stomach is grumbling, do you stop mid-sentence? Because I don't think
you could say, excuse me, but then you got to follow it up with, boy, my stomach is killing me.
But why
me.
Would you say, excuse me, with your stomach grumbling, though? Why would that matter?
That's no, not he an, farted.
That's not
he
an excuse farted. Me thing. You say excuse me if you burp. You say excuse me if you fart. Like, gas is coming out if you're saying excuse me. And the fact that he said excuse me is one or the other. It wasn't a burp, so I'm going to assume that it was a fart.
You know, maybe he's on to something. We all do it. It's not like people don't do it. Maybe it should be more commonplace. You do it, you let it out, you say excuse me, and you move on.
No.
No?
No.
You got to hold it in?
Yeah, especially when we're in these close quarters. You better hold it in. You better lock it up, Evan. You better lock it up.
I may do it just to annoy you.
No, not the flatulence. No, please don't. Please
Evan,
don't. We are in a tiny studio. I mean, there are jail cells that are bigger than what we got.
And there's no windows. It's a windowless room.
Exactly.
Wait a sec. Okay, let's vote on this. All of us as a show, the six people on this show that have microphones right now, okay? Orlovsky, we made a big deal that he farted on McAfee. We know it was a windshield wipers. That was clear. Play it one more time, and then we will vote. Did the Jaguars general manager fart at a press conference yesterday?
Still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final board yet. Still
he
got
leaned
a
up.
Couple
1,000%
yeah,
yes.
No.
You can see
he
it in his face if you're
bit.
Watching on ESPNU.
Yeah,
he farted.
A little bit.
He farted.
No, he didn't. It sounds like his stomach gurgling or something in his throat. I think it was the stomach.
It sounded like he bust ass to me.
I agree. All right. Jovante, did he fart?
Did him some dude wipes.
Yeah, I think he did. The pause just gives it away. Like, if he didn't pause, he maybe could have been like, oh, that's my stomach. But him pausing, and then you hear, you're like, oh, okay, he just farted.
Yeah.
Pat?
Fart for sure.
Nuno?
Yeah, I try to be on Michelle's side. Yeah, he farted.
You know what
no
it is?
Way,
Smalls, do me a favor and do everyone a favor. We're going to play this one more time. And for those who are watching on TV and ESPNU, Smalls, I want you to just focus on his face and the movement of his mouth, then explain it to everybody, and don't focus as much on the sound, because
okay.
I saw when CeCe just did that, and it completely guaranteed that it was a fart. Let's do it one more time.
Still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final board yet. Still got a
small.
Actually, Evan, no, because as I focus not on the sound and only on his face and his behavior, it looks like he's almost swallowing after that. So maybe it was a weird noise that was happening in his throat.
Okay,
your throat makes a noise like that.
I yes, wonder. Sometimes. I wonder if Smalls was sitting here instead of in St. Louis at 101 ESPN, if we took her out of Midwest Michelle and made her New York Michelle again, if she'd say fart. Does she have extra niceness
I'm
in her
tell you
right
like
now?
This. If she was sitting totally. In the studio with us and one of us made that sound as we were talking and said, excuse me, mid-sentence, she would think that we would need to excuse ourselves at the next break and go to the restroom. She okay. would think that that was a fart.
I'd be giving you side eye.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Next one here. So yesterday I had the opportunity to fill in on Greeny, a 10 a.m. to noon Eastern time here on ESPN Radio. And it went to an interesting place that all stemmed from our show this week when the Property Brothers, HGTV, joined us. You will hear my voice, Hembo, and Rob Lorenzo, our social and digital guy. Here we go. Per sources close to me, they stole a scissors from you?
Yeah, so yesterday I was informed by Jack, by Pineapple Jack, member of the hashtag crew, of course, and Rob, our social guy, that my scissors were heisted by a member of the Property Brothers. Rob, can you please explain briefly?
Yeah, so after Unsportsmanlike, we're exiting the studio, and I walk out, and one of the Property Brothers looks to me. He turns and said, hey, do you have a pair of scissors on you? I didn't have a pair of scissors in my pocket for him.
You're not an art teacher. Is that normal where someone would have a pair of scissors on them?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, let me pull these out of my smock.
And pair is such an interesting word for scissors because it is one scissor, but it's a pair of fingers that go into the scissors.
It's a well-made point.
Thank you.
It's like
so
pair
by
of pants.
Default, I look for Adoko, and I looked for Jack. Jack, do you have scissors on you? He looks around. No. Hold on. Wait a second.
Mm-hmm.
And pulls out a pair of scissors from a drawer.
Mm-hmm.
Come to find out that drawer is your drawer.
My desk drawer.
And the property brother, which I thought would go on to Greeny or First Take, he had, you know, possibly another stop throughout the studio.
Right.
Proceeds to leave Seaport Studios with your scissors.
Just in his pocket? Just like carrying them?
Just carrying them.
We have any idea how this could be a thing? Like any idea why this might happen?
They could not. So... What do we think?
Do they collect scissors wherever they go to do interviews? I don't understand it.
And I went on to say that, which I think you guys would all agree with, they could not have been nicer.
Yeah.
They don't feel like thieves.
Maybe this happens when we don't have any swag to give our guests or in-studio guests.
They just go take something. I'm going to get a memento. I'm going to get something.
I'm leaving with something.
Game you scissors.
But I'm just saying, what are you going to use them for? Like, is it a ribbon cutting you were on that way to?
Well, don't they get, like, fancier scissors than, like, whatever they got from Hembo's desk?
I don't know. I mean, yes,
they're on HGTV. They have great haircuts. They look awesome. Maybe this is true.
Do you think you wanted to cut up the one of them wanted to cut up the jacket he was wearing because he had the same outfit as Evan?
Probably.
That's it. That's it. That's it.
A great reason.
Just take the scissors to an office space style. Destroy it.
Yeah. I'm wearing the same jacket as this guy.
The mystery.
Let me get rid of this.
Oh my God! Brilliance. Greeny up next. We are on to Monday on Unsportsmanlike.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.